On this week's episode of the Superhero Show Show, we'll find out who can stop a Viltrumite if Invincible can't, who can stop a mutant genocide if Spider-Man can't, and who could stop Mr. Sinister other than a good pair of jeans. All of that and more on an all-new episode of the Superhero Show Show. What's up, nerds? Welcome to the Superhero Show Show, the only podcast that covers every live-action TV show based on a comic book, as well as some of the animated ones. My name is Cassie, and I will be your host for this episode. This episode, I'm not sure what type of cruel joke is being played on me specifically, because I'm looking around the studio, and it appears to be just me and Ryan here. Ryan, what is happening?
April Fools.
April Fools.
I'm not even here.
Is this, have you guys put a cardboard cutout in front of me again and I fell for it yet again?
Yes, and you, the voice that you're hearing of mine is in your head. Listeners are not hearing anything right now. They're just listening to you pause and listen to me, to nothing.
You can't even, like, throw this out as a joke because I will have this fear that something is happening.
Can you imagine if you became whatever mental state that you got to have a Tyler Durden, but your Tyler Durden was me? Like, you... What a fucking loser you are if your, like, ideal of cool is me.
Not even your ideal of cool. Like, it's just a double torture because it's two people with severe anxiety just being like, nah, dude, I think it's totally fucked. I think you're ruined. Everyone fucking hates you.
Unfortunately, you are in real life my Tyler Durden, and so it would just be two dorks thinking that they're with their own Tyler Durden, but neither one is.
But yeah, so we got two April Fools going on. This episode's coming out Tuesday. April Fools, everybody, no podcast. You're welcome. This is a good prank. I feel like everybody's really going to enjoy this.
I was going to say that this episode is late because of some editing technicality or difficulty, but now you've put it in the recording, so that's
interesting. We didn't want to just be like, hey guys, fun April Fools prank.
Oh, wait, let's do that fun April Fool's prank. Here's the good news, though. I know it's late, and I know people are starving for their shush, their superhero.
They're craving it, dude.
Yeah, like, it pings in their ovaries how bad they want this shit right now.
They're fiending for it.
Here's the good news. It's just that much shorter of a wait till you get the next episode after this one.
It's almost like a double dose, a double hit for the people.
Yeah. If you don't count not getting one last time, then sweet.
Which no one does. Everyone's forgot about it. Everyone's had a great time. But this episode, Ryan, I'm going to say it's going to be totally worth it because it's just me and you. We get to set the vibe, right up front, right out from the beginning. Do we want to be like laid back, cool, super intense, like you call it? We'll make it happen.
Well, right now, you are crushing Baja Blast as you're skateboarding around the studio. So, and hacky sacking while skateboarding. So
yeah,
I guess I'm going to go with your vibe right now.
Which is totally laid back and chill. That's how I am always. That's a casual day for me. I can do that always. It's going to be laid back and casual in that way, but we do have a big episode coming up. It's going to be lit. It's going to go crazy because we're going to be talking about X-Men 97, Resident Alien. But before we get to all of that, let's dive into this week's episode of Invincible. On this week's episode of Invincible, the Viltrumite Anissa is on Earth and needs to talk to Invincible. They punch each other. Meanwhile, on the Mark side, Mark realizes it's time to decide what he wants his role to be. Boyfriend, son, college student, superhero, animation fan, because he can't do them all. Taste buds, before we get to the action, I ask you this. What did you think of this scene where everyone is talking about the scene between Mark and his favorite cartoon showrunner?
You remember this one?
This one is what made me so angry and wanted to turn this shit off. The last time I watched Invincible, I was like, you know what? I get it. This show can be good. I kind of see why. I'm going to get past my hatred for it. And then they did this shit, and I was like, this show sucks ass. It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Okay. I, unlike most people on the internet, didn't like it as much as them. You are taking this to a whole new level. let me explain. Let me explain why Cassie is punching holes through the drywall right now.
That's for Baja Blast. Sorry, I drank too much Baja Blast. I just got to get the energy out somehow.
Also, why do you hide your extra BB Baja Blast? BB is short for Baja Blast. Mm-hmm. Why do you hide your extra BB in the walls and then you have to punch to find it?
Because I have a problem and the house knows it, so they hide it.
Oh, the house did
it. I gotta hide it. Like the household, you know, the peeps here who want to keep me from my Baja Blast, my BB.
Your BB. And again, that is Baja Blast, BB, B for Baja, B for Blast. In the comic book, Mark goes to meet his favorite comic book writer or artist and says, don't you think it's weird when comic book artists will repeat the same panel over and over and over again to, like, save time? Don't you think that's a cheat? And then it cuts the comic book artist, and he sits there and thinks, same panel, same panel, same panel, same panel, and then no. And then we turn the page, and that's it. So
that's good. That's a good bit.
That's a good bit. In honor of that, this week on Invincible, he goes to meet his favorite showrunner, and they talk about all of the ways that cartoons, or they start it with, why was there such a delay in your show? Why did it take so long to come out? And the cartoon guy's like, well, it's hard to animate. And then they discuss every cheat that a cartoon does, cover up mouths, show wide angles where it's just a still picture, but you can't tell because it's so far away. And then we get demonstrations of that. And I think the biggest difference between the comic book and the cartoon is the comic book, it's possible you miss it. It's possible you read right past it and turn the page, and that's fine. The cartoon refuses to let anyone not know exactly what they're doing. It goes on forever.
Forever, Ryan. They spent so long. Like, if it would have been just a quick little beat, like, we got it, we get it, that's funny. And for the people who wouldn't have got it, everyone who, like, sucks this dude's dick raw, like, would have posted it all over the internet. So everyone would have been like, do you get what he did here? We didn't need 10 minutes of this. It was insane.
Because, meanwhile, and not to shit on the show necessarily for this, but meanwhile, when they're doing those tricks and mocking cartoons about how they save money, they're also saving all that money by doing what they're doing. Yeah. Which is clever, I guess. But yeah, it was too much, not enough faith in the audience, Invincible. And also, you've never displayed this sense of humor before, the show. And also, these are, at this point, tired jokes. You know, not to quote a cliche around these parts and the world, but The Simpsons did everything that you just did 30 years ago.
Yeah. It was entirely too much. It made me angry, and it ruined the rest of the episode for me. But, I mean, this episode did it feel like kind of a filler? Well, I guess it can't be a filler episode. It's always pushing forward the plot. We had a lot happen.
But, yeah, this is a week of two penultimate episodes of the season. Resident Alien is ending next week, too. And so, typically, or a lot of times with these type of shows, that, yeah, the second to last show will just be ramping for the big battle, you know?
Yeah.
And so moving pieces into place is another cliche that we say here all the time. But I think that the biggest deal, if you haven't read the comic, then you probably don't know why yet, but is Anissa being here and being, like, a fucking terror. Like, she could beat the shit out of Mark as hard as she wants, whenever she wants. When she punches him, he fucking flies.
Yeah. Was there a giant kraken? Is this the way they meet in the first one? Or is kraken just a fun thing to throw out in any superhero thing?
Yeah, I think it's just part of, you know, it's not the only one that we get this week. There's a couple of big monsters running through cities or oceans. But yeah, it's just something that you can go and beat on. And it's not as fucked up as, like, you know, pushing a criminal down the stairs just because this guy, you know, couldn't afford food for his kids, so he's, like, stealing baby food, and then Invincible just rips his arms off. That's less fun than punching a kraken.
Speaking of the fact, so we also have, who does Jason Mantzoukas voice?
Dynamite Boy.
Dynamite Boy.
Kid Dynamite. Rexplosive. Rexplosive.
There we go. There it is. Rexplosive goes out on his own little mission because, you know, he's going through it right now, and he needed he needed some time and needed to get back in the game. And he goes against this, like, I'm going to say octopus man beefcake thing. if I had to throw up some describers, let's just say those for that guy. And they really humanized it. Like, that exact thing you were saying, like, I felt bad for him beating up on this octopus guy because he was talking about how he, like, spent the time to learn English and I'm sorry I don't speak it well. And, like, as Rex is, like, beating the shit out of him. And I was like, wait, am I supposed to feel so bad for this octopus beefcake?
I mean, I don't know if you imagine me relating to Rex in this moment, but Rex is down and out. Like, he's got, like, little explosives, and this is a huge monster. And the thing that convinces him, inspires him to know that he can beat the monster is the monster just started learning English, and he's like, I beat you up good now. And then Rex realizes that the monster is such a fucking moron that he can beat him. Where I think that's impressive that over, like, 48 hours, the monster taught himself how to learn English.
Yeah. And he spent the time. He was like, I got to know how to communicate with the people here. I was like, you know what? Give him a chance. What's he stealing? Like, maybe he needs it. Let's just see here.
Me do Duolingo 2 days straight.
And, like, I'm honestly impressed with him because me 2 days on Duolingo, I can't tell you nothing.
He speaks better English than I speak Spanish or any other language I should know already.
But there's a lot of people going through it. We have Rexplode, I don't know, trying to get back in it, which after this, what do you think? After this little fight, did he seem, you think that's it for him? Like, he's all good?
Yeah, I mean, for his arc for the season's probably wrapped up, and It was strange because he's been, his character throughout the entire run of the show has just been, like, asshole turned up to 11, and, like, one of those guys who thinks he's doing it for a joke or for the good of the team, but really you're just a fucking troll. And after they both defeat the monster, then they do a walk and talk, and they're just like, yeah, Invincible, you had it rough, you know, how's it going with your dad? So I guess he's just a normal, caring, empathetic person now.
Yeah.
That was my Jason Mendoza. I don't. It sounded more like Peter Lorre, but...
No, it was flawless, Ryan. Believe in yourself. We also have, I'm not going to know either of their names. I'm going to say they're Agent Coulson, the dude in a suit who's all robot.
Yeah, Donald.
Donald. Fucking Donald. That's not his name, right?
Agent Donald.
God damn, that's good. Agent Donald is figuring out that he has been killed so many times. Memory erased every time by his choice because he can't hold all that trauma to do his job. But then he wants to hold the trauma because there's this, to me, random guy really going through it. Also been pieced together, having just a bad old time in college.
Yeah, this is Mark's friend's boyfriend. And Mark's friend, who is named, of course, we should really learn this shit.
Donald Mark's Jr.
Donald Jr., no relation to Donald, is starting to notice that this guy is not doing great. And then they call the Donald Patrol to come in and talk him down.
God, his name's Donald. So good. Their Mark is mainly, obviously, our main guy. They really pressure on him. Like, everything's coming to a head. He can't do everything. He can't be a full-time student because he hasn't attended class, I don't think, once. Is fully failing. So he's like, the dean is like, hey, if you want to be a college student, you got to be a college student. Or if you want to be whatever, go do that. So he's like, this episode was like, pick your shit.
Yes. He could also, if he gives money to his mom and his mom pays for, like, a new sports arena on the college campus, then he can do fuck all. Like, he can do whatever he wants and then he'll be fine at the college. But yeah, he's spread a little too thin. What I don't know if the Invincible gang knows is that this is a Peter Parker trope and, like, the whole character. And that only works if you're spread way too thin the entire time. Like, you have to be on the verge of stress tears every second of your life. But I honestly think that it is the writers also saying some of these plot threads we're done with. Yeah. You know, like, maybe college wasn't the best choice. We don't want to do a college show. Or maybe it's time to sort of wrap up the mom and not deal with her as much as far as storyline goes. But it is a classic thing of, like, it's time to make some decisions just so you can streamline the show, basically.
Yeah. And he, like, it seemed like they're going to do both. He, like, he had 2 days set aside for his girlfriend.
Yeah.
you know, which she was really struggling with because she was like, you know, I can't say spend time with me because you got to save the world and that's selfish as hell. And I was like, I felt so bad for her because I was like, yeah, dude, that would be a terrible weight to have. Just be like, I want to spend time with this person, but if I do, like, people are dying.
Yeah, I mean, that's a classic Clark and Lois thing of,
yeah,
how could you go on a date with Clark knowing that that means thousands of people are dying probably because he's not out there. And the other thing, too, with Amber is that Anissa comes to talk to Mark and scares the shit out of Amber. Like, this is her first, I think this is her first, like, super close-up contact with a villain. After this stuff, if I was Amber, I would be like, I love you, bro, but I'm gonna peace the fuck out.
Yeah, couldn't get out any quicker.
Yeah.
But yeah, she does have, so Anissa does come. She comes in fully threatening her and also the whole little restaurant. I'm gonna say Olive Garden that they were at.
Sure.
And they, so from the comics, this person, does she become a big character in the future?
Oh, Cassie. I don't know how much you want. I do kind of want to talk to you about it because I want to know if you think that the show is capable of doing this.
Okay.
But in what is probably the most famous issue, the most talked about issue of Invincible, Anissa realizes what she wants from Mark in general. So Mark's going to have to make a decision. He's going to have to say, do we go to war with the Viltrumites or do we just, like, play it cool? Tell them what they need to hear, and then they'll leave us alone for X amount of time. Like, this is sort of the decision that Cecil offers to him, is just, like, tell her whatever to go away, and then we'll build a weapon or something.
Mm-hmm.
But Anissa at some point realizes that what she really wants is to have Mark's baby. And
oh, no.
Mark doesn't want that, but Anissa does it anyway. And
what?
Rapes the living shit out of him in a crater.
That was, dude, no way. Do you think the show can go that intense?
Are you saying, yeah, I don't think it will be, like, it's not like you saw penetration in the comic book, but it was pages and pages of Mark fucking in pain. And then also getting aroused enough to do the deed, which is, that's conflicting.
Yeah.
But I don't know. If I had to guess, I would say yes, just because they want to be talked about. You know,
yeah.
It will, on all of the comic book podcasts and websites, it will be news.
Dude, if this show that spent 10 goddamn minutes being like, this is how we save money on animation, and then does that shit as well, I swear to God, Ryan, this show sucks garbage. This whole segment, we've just been like, oh yeah, this trope that, like, Superman did, this trope that Spider-Man did. So they're just doing the same shit that everybody's done, but throwing in a shock factor. This shit sucks. I'm back on this shit sucks.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, but I do think that the success of Invincible is to re-liven these tropes, like to breathe new life rather into these tropes with a new character that we just never get anymore. You know, like, we don't get a new character named, you know, like Miles Morales and then have him be something. It's Spider-Man again, you know, it's the same, you know, like Superboy and whoever. We just get copies of the past heroes. For Invincible to be a different character and then go through all of the comic book tropes that we know and love, I think that was the selling point. It's why I love the comic so much.
Mm.
But I see what you're saying too.
Cause Ryan, I can make a comic, name the dude, I'll name him fucking Doug or whatever little nerd ass name is. If that's all it takes, this, you tell me I could be raking in money and I just gotta throw in a different name but do what everyone else did. Actually, there's been remakes. We've only been doing, yeah, this makes sense. I should have known this. Invincible is garbage is what I have come to.
I can't wait to read your comic book where you took one page out of 22 different comic books, stapled them together, and said, look, it's commenting on books of the past.
Do you guys get what I'm doing? I don't even care about this anymore. Is there another plot point we care about here? Ryan, convince the people they should watch this shit show.
I think the show is unbelievable. 10 minutes of this episode aside, of this entire season aside, this has been a great season. Cassie hates, handsome boys, which is why there's so much animosity between me and her.
Yeah.
And so that's why she doesn't like Mark in this show. But I think everyone should watch it. I think we're going to get more Oliver next week. I think that's going to finally pay off because Oliver does become a little bit of a Robin to his Batman. There's a superhero we haven't referenced yet. Next week, different tropes.
The only, like, I just don't even care. I just don't. I was going to mention, so Anissa has this whole rant about, like, you know, if you let the Viltrumites take over, like, we could save this planet, like, Earth's ruining themselves, aka the Thanos argument. Again, another thing they just fucking recycled. So, I don't know. That was a cool point, I guess. Good job, Invincible.
I love you trying it, but if, you know, humans recycled as much as Invincible did, then the Earth wouldn't be in as bad of a place as it is.
So yeah, it's building up to something. It's doing some shit. Check it out if you want. We'll go to moments of the week. Do you got one, Ryan?
My moment of the week was the other big announcement from Invincible that everybody was talking about, is that one of the villains from the past, I think from the past, at least for the future, was voiced by Ezra Miller, and it is not any longer. So
there we
I
go.
Know it's a lot more affordable for them to kick him out than for DC to kick him out of the Flash movie that was already filmed and all the effects were done. But, you know, that guy, keep him off your quote-unquote set for a while and let them figure their shit out.
Yeah. My moment of the week is when I got confirmation that I can still hate this show. It feels good. But if you do want to watch it, it's on Amazon Prime. So go ahead, check it out. That is all I could stand to talk about Invincible. But Ryan, I believe you had a website idea, and I'd rather talk about that instead.
Oh, boy. Okay. I have been, like, weighing the market, trying to figure out what's about to pop off, what's, you know, popular. And before it got trademarked, I went and trademarked Doug the Superhero or some darn old name like that. And so on Doug.com, you can read all of the adventures of Doug. There's one where he meets Mary Jane Watson. There's one where he gets hit with a missile and becomes a giant green monster. He just has so many different adventures, you know?
This guy sounds so rad. This website needs to pop off because it's going to be huge. Now,
of course, I couldn't get the rights to Doug.com, so it is Doug the Superhero or some darn old name.com.
And I think everybody's just going to naturally be typing that into their browser anyhow, so this is gonna work really well. And just to really get the people in, you're going to need a flashy, catchy website, and my friends, cybersprout.net can help you build that. That's because they got drag-and-drop tools if you want to get in there and make it yourself. Or if not, they'll build it for you. They focus on collaboration, goal-driven design. That's cybersprout.net, your partner for a digital world. Coming up next, let's go to the pull list. Welcome to the pull list, where we cover every other show that came out this week. First up is The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live. On the fifth episode of The Ones Who Live, Rick and Michonne spend a night in Yellowstone after running into Jadis. Or Jadis, who knows. After running into each other, these three get into a fight, double-cross each other, and eventually Jadis dies. With her last dying breath, she does give Rick a wedding ring, though. He then proposes to Michonne, and they fly off in a helicopter on a romantic honeymoon to the CRM to retrieve a dossier. Taste buds, I ask you, if you had to plan a honeymoon during a zombie apocalypse but also had a helicopter, what would you do?
Honeymoon and also had a helicopter. Couldn't I just plan the honeymoon on the helicopter?
You could, like, but you know, like, have you ever watched Bachelor? Like, it's pretty limited once you're on there. You kind of just talking to each other through these little headphone things. Also, the dude flying it is kind of involved in your whole little situation. I don't know how wild you can get on a helicopter. Like, you can't, like, dance or nothing. Like, you're pretty limited.
Well, I don't know what the helicopter rental rates are in the post-apocalypse, but I would just throw that guy out because I can almost guarantee that I could fly a helicopter better than him. Helicopters are notoriously simple to fly, aren't they?
Yeah, like super easy. Like it's basically a Pong controller, it seems like. You know, you're kind of just like toggling around and you're flying a helicopter. It's the same thing.
I'll take it out and replace it with a PS4 controller like those lovely people in the submarine did.
That worked flawlessly for them.
I did have a question real quick for you. Was this the episode where, what did you say, Jadis?
Uh-huh.
Did that? There was a character like Will.
She is previously from something from this.
Yeah, and then there was like a John Smith, and they were gonna go protest against him. So I was just wondering, did Jada Pinkett Smith?
Yeah, right.
Is what I was gonna say.
Yeah, right. It did.
Right. Oh, hold on, April Fools! I did not actually say that.
All right, now we're back. Now we're good. Oh man, The Walking Dead: The Ones Who Live is on Sundays on AMC. Next up is Resident Alien.
On this week's episode of Resident Alien, Harry's kid Liza is back, and she's pissed. More than I hate you, Dad pissed, she's like, I'm going to fucking kill you, Dad pissed. While that leads to one of Resident Alien's all-time fight scenes, Aster runs into her mom again for a different kind of reunion. Meanwhile, the mayor gets in on Mike and Liz's investigation, and Kate's journey about her abduction comes to a startling conclusion. Taste buds, I ask you this, do you want to talk about the fight scene or the horrible ending?
The fight scene, please.
You coward.
And the horrible ending we must leave for the end. This is how the artist wanted it and how it's meant to be. Give me the fight, please.
So all those podcasts that analyze movies by going through them chronologically scene by scene, that you're not saying that's hack. You're saying that's how the artist wanted it to be talked about.
That's how you're supposed to consume it and also put it out for other people to consume through you scene by scene, minute by minute. Exactly.
All right, I'm not even going to analyze this or critique it. I'm just going to explain it to you and delight in what happened. So Sahar's back. She was gone for 3 episodes. Now she's back. Liza, do you remember Harry having a kid?
No.
A little baby? Yeah, it was...
Oh, yes, actually.
And it became like a 14-year-old punk rock girl.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and like took the form of Harry, the real Harry Van Der Spiegel's daughter, I think.
Yeah.
That's back. Harry gets control over it because it loves Sahar, so it takes it out of Sahar's hands and explodes it, kills it. Just like blood everywhere. But the thing about aliens, Cassie, is that they just need a little bit of somebody's DNA and then they can become that person. Harry doesn't clean his house, so there's DNA of every single character from the show in that house. So 12 at a time, so all good. 12 characters pop up as fucking crazed child aliens and attempt to kill Harry. They all find him. And this is the one moment where I was kind of hoping that, and I don't think this is the case, but Alan Tudyk is one of those on-set assholes. And like, this would just be so cathartic for all the actors to like beat the shit out of him. It's fucking amazing. It's slow motion. Like, they take it so seriously. He's just tasing and exploding all of these people. One character is noticeably absent. And so when everybody's gone, the alien runs over and plops directly on not just random DNA like a hair, but a booger, a specifically giant booger. Harry says, "Who would leave a booger like that in my house?" Alien becomes Max. Max just picked his nose and dropped a boulder onto the floor.
Fucking nuts.
And Max screams at him about, instead of fighting, he screams at him about what a shitty friend/father/father figure he is. And all of a sudden he realizes that he loves his baby.
Wow.
Yeah. Touching and action-packed all at the same time.
That's how Resident Alien does. What is with all of the other characters? Do we have what's going on with Asta?
Asta's mom comes back. She was from a season ago, played by Donald Logue's sister. And she says, "Hey, I decided that I'm going to give you the information that you wanted about your past, but it was really expensive to get here. So if you were to pay for that, like give me $1,000, then I'll tell you the information."
Cool.
And so basically, Asta does not learn about her past, but she learns about her future, that it's going to work with her and her daughter that she put up for adoption, because she's not a fucking money-grubbing cunt like her biological mother.
Should we go to the, was it horrible ending? How did you describe it? Terrifying?
Yes, just fucking, you know, there's every once in a while, Resident Alien will take something on that you maybe don't think they should, and then just fucking kill it. By the way, did I tell you that my wife recommended me a new show on Netflix?
No.
Yeah. She's like, "Have you seen the show called Resident Alien?" First of all, clearly a huge listener to this show, my wife.
Supports you very much.
But also, it just speaks to the fact that, like, it's becoming more and more true that TV doesn't count unless it's on Netflix. We have been singing the praises of Resident Alien for years, and only now are people going to watch it. But, which is awesome, it's just, you guys, Netflix is far too powerful, and at some point needs to be taken down. Kate is working with Liv, because Liv is the only, Kate, the mayor's wife, is the only one that believes her that she was abducted. She's got the little bead in her neck that is like proof. And not only was she abducted, but her baby was abducted, and only she came back. And Harry realizes all this too, and basically the aliens have been making her forget, or at least get very, very foggy about it. With Harry's about to make her forget again, because that's the only way to like live a peaceful life, is just that if she doesn't know that that baby ever existed. And Harry, after all of his trials and tribulations and baby love and realizing what it means to be a parent, decides, you know what? I'm not going to make her forget. In fact, I'm going to let her remember. And so switches the button the other way, and it all comes to her, and this actress just does a clinic on what it's like to remember that a decade ago, you had a baby, and now you don't.
Jesus Christ.
It was hilarious on this funny comedy show.
To start it off with such a dumb fight where...
To punching a booger kid.
Booger kid. To that. That's... Oh, man. That's insane. I'm just devastated thinking about it. Let's go to the moments of the week. We're going to be big people. We're not going to cry thinking about it. Moment of the week, Ryan.
My moment of the week is Asta comes to all these conclusions and then is talking to her daughter and like apologizes for, you know, all of her, like everything that Asta's learned and about the past, and saying, is there any way that Asta's daughter's pissed about everything? And Asta's like, is there a way that we could just like talk about it right now? And Asta's daughter goes to get out of the car and says, absolutely not. And like goes to leave. And then just before she shuts the door, she says, because we have the rest of our lives to talk about it, and then smiles and walks away. And I love a fucking rope-a-dope like that. Like, you really make people think that you say something that is going to break the person's heart. You can watch it in slow motion, just get crushed, and then be like, just kidding, April Fool's, Resident Alien.
Could you ever be the person, like, I want to be the person who could pull that off even for 2 seconds, but if they even start to look devastated, I would bail out so quickly. No, just kidding. The rest of our lives, we're totally fine. We're cool. We're cool.
And at that point, like, maybe she wasn't planning on saying that, but she saw her mom's heartbreak, and she was like, oh, just kidding.
Just kidding. We're fine. Resident Alien is Wednesdays on Sci-Fi. Our final show of the week is X-Men 97. On the third episode of X-Men 97, we find out that Jean Grey, who has been in the mansion and just gave birth to her and Scott's baby, is actually Sinister's clone of Jean. Sinister cloned her with the plan to take their child, make him immune, and then take his powers. After realizing she's a clone, this Jean turns into the Goblin Queen and sends the X-Men to hell. It all gets pretty intense until the real Jean breaks through to her. Taste, Ryan, I ask you, can you believe X-Men 97 has taken this melodrama for adults to this level in just the third episode?
Man, oh man. You know, we, much like everybody else, talks about how X-Men is as much a soap opera as it is an action show or superhero show. And to say like, oh, what happened on X-Men this week? And you're like, oh, Cyclops learned that his baby is actually with a clone of his wife, and then his wife is there too, and now they have to figure out what to do with the baby. That sounds like you're talking about like a classic daytime soap opera.
Yes. There's also a line, and it goes so hard. Fucking this Sinister is like, this is how Sinister should have been. This guy is insane, like truly evil, sassy as hell. He has something of like, look at Cyclops, who couldn't even like bed the right person and created a monster. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yes, he, like, Magneto is now a weak man, not because of his powers, but because he's a hero, and that's just, like, the weakest thing you can do. and a principal of a school. Like,
nerd ass.
Fucking shut the fuck up, Magneto. But I think that you're right. Mr. Sinister is now and should have always been, like, the most fucking despicable. The dude files his teeth into fangs, for God's sakes.
And for the name to, like, be Mr. Sinister, and they describe it in this one, like, as, like, he's, like, basically, like, evil incarnate. And, like, they really backed it up with how they made this character. Like, he was kind of a joke in the one. It was just fun to see, like, Mr. Sinister pop up and know it was going to be a weird little fun episode. And this one, my God, he holds back nothing and just really... He also makes them call, like... Once she finds out, this other Jean finds out she's a clone, he's like, I'm your daddy. Like, I'm Daddy Sinister. I was like, whoa, dude. Like, we are really escalating things here.
I mean, you talked about in the last segment about how this is sort of the era between Thanos and the Viltrumites of, like, what we're doing is bad, but it's a means to an end, right? Like, our main goal is still some sort of idealistic. And Sinister is just like, I want to do this, and I do it as wickedly as possible because it's fun as hell.
Dude, this was such a long haul. Like, the whole time I was thinking of, like, how long has he had this in place with the plans that they would bone and he would get this child? Like, this is insane.
Did real Jean pop up? Was that, like, not part of the plan?
I don't think that was part
of the plan.
That
throws a wrench.
Yeah.
I wanted... sometimes when I watch this stuff, I think about you because... You don't have the decades of history with it like Mike and I do. And last week we talked about how this show isn't as buck as the original show. I want to know what your reaction was and let you know that this is comically or historically comic book and not just being buck when Jean 2.0, the clone, turned around and said, I'm not Jean, I'm the Goblin Queen. Did you see that coming? The term Goblin Queen. Did you think that she was going to say that?
Ryan, they made, when she goes evil, full cunty mode. Like, just like the outfit, the attitude, everything. I was like, yes, this is a villain. This is, I'm living for her. And then she had this dramatic reveal and I was like, God, yes, what is it going to be? And it was the Goblin Queen. I was like, guys, we could have updated. I know we're staying true to the original. But there's no explanation for Goblin Queen. Like,
it should have had her, like, just before she was like, I'm not Jean, I'm. And then she pulls up, like, a Spirit Halloween catalog and just flips through costumes. Firefighter, sexy nurse. Ooh, Goblin Queen.
Like, there's no goblins in this universe. As far as I'm concerned, I've yet to see a goblin. Like, Sinister has claimed her as a clone, and she's just decided she's Goblin Queen? What the fuck?
Also, this is the United States. Be the Goblin President or the Goblin Secretary of State.
I don't respect queens here.
we fucking kick the shit out of queens in wars.
She, God.
This is, we talked about this a little bit when we were watching the original cartoon, but this is a story that comes straight out of this era where the author, who I think Chris Claremont was writing these comic books at the time, was like, ooh, I have a new character. Let's put her in, like, leather bondage. Oh, and then here's a different character. Let's put her in leather bondage. And just all of their outfits are just BDSM club clothes.
It's so good. We also have, like, this instantly. Like, I knew we were in a whole another ball game. Once she figures out she's a clone, Sinister, like, takes up power over her or whatever, claims back, like, whatever. As he says, like, I own every part of your body. Fucking freak, dude. but she starts, like, working for him, essentially, and sends all of them to hell or makes them think they are in hell. And that slow process of everyone, like, seeing some nightmares. And, like, Morph, like, I don't understand Morph. Like, Morph went to go, like, hit on Wolverine in the shower and then, like, got attacked. I was like, this is all insane and I am loving it. It is a different type of book and I was so hyped the whole time.
They did. There was something where people were pissed that Morph is non-binary. Because you got to be pissed about something. I don't know if that says anything about his sexuality, but he is constantly men and women all the time. So
he's so horny.
Yeah, and he's fucking. But I think that he's pretty sure Wolverine isn't gay. Maybe he's. I don't know. But all of the nightmares that are going down, and Gambit's nightmare of Rogue and Magneto hooking up is just a fact. Like,
it's
sorry,
buddy. It's real.
They're making fun of him in the beginning of the episode when they're like looking at the schedule for the Danger Room. But so everybody gets these nightmares, and then finally the ninth X-Man to come in is Wolverine, and I don't think we see any of his fears. He just comes in and he's like, "What the fuck is going on? This sucks."
Also, everybody has these terrible fears. Even Jubilee and the new kid, I'm blanking on his name right
now. Sunspot.
Like, you know, they were watching a scary movie and it essentially comes to life. Like it, like the little girl crawls out from the thing, he gets tortured by his mom. Like, even they are going through it. And then fucking Beast opens up an elevator, and it's just, like, this booger goblin thing in there. And he has no reaction to it. It's just like, oh, like, looks like I'm getting on the wrong floor. I was like, what is happening?
Oh, well, both my stars and my garters. This looks like a weird elevator. That had some Spirited Away feel to it. Like, that felt very, like, from that those kind of movies. And I love the whole thing where, like, adults are full of fear and anxiety and animosity and being cowards. And so all the adults in the team, like, they have these very thought-out nightmares of, like, what they're so scared of. But teenagers who don't know shit, the only fear that they could conjure is the one that's literally on the TV in front of them. They're like, well, we don't have any life experience. So you know what's scary to me? Scary movies. Please don't make that come
when
true.
A girl kind of crawls kind of weird on the floor and looks a little creepy, that shit, don't like. No, thank you.
I'm not a fan either, if we're being honest. Like, Cirque du Soleil, get that shit out of here. That is just a horror show.
No, I will never pay for that. We do get, like, they're struggling, obviously. They morph, takes them all to Sinister's place so they can get the kid back. I don't fully know. It doesn't matter. They go up to Sinister's place, and they eventually, like, they need real Jean to help them out, and it's Wolverine who breaks her, like, out of it and gets her to realize, like, her past and who she is, and goddamn do they just fuck over Wolverine every chance they get. Like,
oh, God. And I don't know if this is something that the original X-Men would have been, like, paying attention to, but they are, like, Jean touches his head, realizes how in love with Jean he is. She's like, do you really feel about me that way? And he's like, oh, that and more. Which is bullshit, because she read his brain, so she would know there's not more than what's in your brain. Yeah. She would know it all. Doesn't matter. And they're about to kiss, or like, it is tense up in that room. And then Beast runs in, or somebody, and is like, Jean, we need you. Scott's in trouble. And she completely turns her attention. They're talking about that. And Wolverine's just in the background getting sadder and sadder and sadder.
They will always put him in this situation. She, like, pushes him off and yells, Scott, I have to help him. I was like, ding, y'all.
What'd you say, Jean? Scott Summers. I need to think about him instead of anyone else, especially you.
The one I actually love. But it's her who actually gets to break through Clone Jean, a.k.a. the Goblin Queen, a.k.a. my queen. Yes. She just relates to her. She gets her to realize giving birth to their son, Nathan, and that was the best moment of her life. She's like, oh, okay, let's take down this little bitch, Sinister. They are a little too late, though, because their baby has already been thrown into a vat of, like, I don't know, something.
You thought only men could be in tubes in all these shows? No. Babies can be in tubes, too. He is a test tube baby.
Test tube baby. Sinister is trying to make him immune so he could take his powers. So they bust into there, but they break him out too soon. Like, the process wasn't complete. So now he just has a virus in him, some insane virus.
The techno-organic virus, which will his body will be riddled with for the rest of his life.
So chill. So chill. Such a chill thing to, like, introduce to a comic. Like, here's this baby with this terrible disease that we'll never figure out how to cure. But then they have the idea, like, hey, we got a future man. Let's send him to the future. But we also have this devastating moment of her having to say goodbye to this child.
Yep. A lot of crossover in the shows this week. And one of them is just moms having these babies that they love, but some sort of sci-fi element needs to come in and rip them from them, whether it's time travelers or aliens.
And, like, that's devastating. But right before we get this moment of they realize the situation of, like, this kid only has one shot, and it's for us to give him to Bishop, where Bishop takes him into the future, and Scott just starts screaming about being abandoned, like the little bitch he is.
Come on, Cassie.
His son is dying. And he's like, but he's going to know what abandonment feels like. It's like he's either dead or he feels abandonment. Like, I don't know which one you want here, Scott.
If you were there, I know what you would have said. You would have looked him in the eyes and you would have been like, Scott, I understand why everyone who has abandoned you has abandoned you. You fucking little bitch.
I am about to take Bishop's spot and go into the future with this child just not to be with you.
But unfortunately, when you know it, Cassie, Bishop taps his future watch. He's only got two jumps left. So
only two.
I only have enough future gas in my watch for two travelers.
Also, should it count as two travelers? Like, that one's a baby. That's like a 7-pound baby at most. Like,
I mean, you should get like at least yourself in a carry-on. You put that baby in
that
a carry-on.
That baby's a carry-on.
But see, I don't think so, because if you watch the animation, it actually makes sense to me why Gene would find a surrogate and have Madeline Pryor have the baby, because Cable's fucking baby head is so gigantic. I cannot believe Madeline Pryor survived the birth.
Yeah, I said 7 pounds, but that baby is full on, like 18 pounds, like out the gate. That's a big old baby.
The human Cable baby head weighs 7 pounds.
At the very end of this, we do have Storm, who has still gone off. She's gone off because she lost her powers in previous episodes. And Forge finds her in a bar and is like, I'm going to help you get your powers back. And that's where we end this episode.
Yeah. I'd love to see Forge, who I believe that's who Bishop was talking about. He was saying, I have a guy who we get in the future. We know what to do. I don't know if that guy is going to be there anymore because he's in a bar in Arizona. But I don't know how time travel works. But weird cliffhanger. Storm and Forge is an incredible comic book love story. I don't know if most people watching this are going to be like, Forge, guys, it's Forge. Pick up the phone, call your mom. Mom, did you see the end? It was Forge.
We're getting him. We're doing it. Let's go to moments of the week. Ryan, what do you got?
Oh, boy. My moment of the week is just the public who gets to watch this show. There's a lot of stuff going on in the news right now, and we have an election coming up. And I think that this episode about a man who forces a woman to have a baby while saying, I control every part of your body, says the quiet parts out loud, maybe people can vote for what's appropriate, like women's health care coming this November.
Right.
Maybe men shouldn't be able to control every part of a woman's body.
This is very true. You put such an important thing out there, and I hate to follow it up with my moment of the week now. Should have gone first. But do you remember when Morph at the beginning, this Jean came in, and she didn't know who she was. Nobody really knew who she was, so he was like all in favor of calling her Jean Doe. It's fucking pretty good. It's pretty good, huh?
Again, just if you were like trying to, if me and Cassie's voices are too similar and you can't tell us apart, I support the right for women to have healthcare.
Yeah.
She thinks Jean Doe is funny, so
pretty good.
If you want to comment more about my thoughts, write me at ryan@whitenight.com and I'll let you know how great I am.
It's one of the good ones, everyone. X-Men 97 is Thursdays on Disney Plus. You should absolutely be watching it. That is everything that came out this week. Next week, S-Tasmania.
Next week?
As in right now, coming up. Next up, X-Tasmania. X-Tasmania.
Spider-Man. April Fool's.
Welcome to S-Tasmania, bitch, a mini-show within a show where we take an in-depth episode-by-episode look at Fox's seminal and underrated afternoon cartoon of the mid-90s, Spider-Man the Animated Series. This week we're covering Neogenic Nightmare Chapter 5, and this episode picks right back up with the fight between Wolverine and Spider-Man that the Green Goblin has interrupted. There's no green
Hobgoblin
on this goblin. Fucking Hobgoblin. There's a lot of goblins also this week.
Somebody contact the Goblin Queen and get some green on this goblin.
After Goblin
I did
Queen,
want to say
it was
that
a downfall, like to this one. I was like, I was on two highs.
I do want to say that my true Goblin Queen is, of course, Nancy Reagan, the throat goat, who was just goblin cocks throughout the entire Reagan presidency.
Ryan,
sorry, Cassie, keep going.
We're like 30 seconds into the segment. on Spider-Man. How did we get here? There's a fight going on between all of them. It gets interrupted. They eventually, the security team becomes aware of these mutants fighting outside. So they obviously have to fire off missiles. And Hobgoblin's like, perfect, you guys go after these people. I'm going to Landon's building and do some things. And
I do want to talk about this fight, though, because there we get to watch these people watch this fight. So basically, we get to watch people watch Spider-Man the Animated Series. But Spider-Man and Wolverine, who have many powers, right?
So
like
many.
Each of them have 12 powers. They are in this alleyway, full on Greco-Roman wrestling, like grabbing each other by the back of the neck and just straight up. And well, I don't know if straight is the right word, but like going at each other. No, and I think this is because they both know that they're heroes.
Yeah.
So let's put the power aside and just like just be boys. And let's wrestle like boys. And I appreciate that.
It's honestly just a lot of rolling around on the ground. Like when they go to the security cams, it's just two boys rolling on the ground. And they're like, let's shoot missiles at them. I'm like, I guess, dude. I don't know.
See, I think that every time the camera moves off them, they're just like, smooch, 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 smooch. And then the camera comes back. It's like, oh, shit, let's fight again.
Actually, I hate you. In between this fight, they're like, Wolverine gets a chance to yell at him. He's like, Beast was last seen with you. What's up? And he was like, I told him about Landon's spot. So they decide to go into Landon's building, which is just the meetup spot now. We go inside and we see that Beast has been captured in there, see him in the little cage, and get a flashback to his early work because that's what inspired Landon.
Which, yeah, it's fucked up. Did you, when you saw, and this is for later in the show, but when you saw Beast in that cage that was clearly like lit up blue bars,
mm-hmm.
did you know for sure that's electricity immediately? Even though you have never been a superhero, you just see that and you're like, oh, I wouldn't jump directly into that. That's clearly electricity.
Yeah, there's definitely, maybe not electricity. There's something happening there where I know touchy, no good, for sure.
Touchy, no good, yes.
Absolutely.
I know that, you know that. Hopefully everyone knows that. Touchy, no good.
They would absolutely know that. To get in, we see Wolverine just cutting through the air duct, I think. He literally just appears out of the sky somehow, like Wolverine does. And him and Spidey, they start having to fight off all these guards, which then definitely occupies them. So the Goblin goes to a computer that's just labeled Mutant Genetic Research. It's a giant computer. The screen is just labeled so everybody knows what's happening at this computer.
That's why there's a label on my laptop that just says porn, just so everybody knows what this is used for.
There's no question about it. Yeah, you know it. It's porn on here. He then, you know, he's like, this is what I needed. He puts in a little CD-ROM. A face pops up on the screen, and just so we know what's going on, it straight up says your data has been transferred to your CD-ROM. Like, thank you so much, giant face.
For anybody who's ever burned a CD... So anybody who was born in the 60s, you know that it is not an instantaneous process, but that's okay. We're distracted by the face of the computer, because everybody knows that in the 90s, you turn on computer and a face comes out, and it's like, hello, I'm your computer. Mm-hmm, how are you? I don't know why they sound like Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, that was a weird take on that one.
But yeah, one of, like, clearly all the budget from this episode went to this lady's face on the screen who's just like, look at that CD-ROM of yours.
They were really excited. Like, it's all geometric looking and everything. And then they fucking doubled down on it. Because once Hobgoblin takes it all, like, he has his own little thing to let everybody know that he stole the data and it's his face up on the screen now. Just like, yep. I have it all. I was like, what is happening?
Akin to Dennis Nedry coming on the Jurassic Park computers and saying, Hobgoblin just puts his CGI stamp right there on the thing. And then, holy shit, Cassie, the greatest moment in Spider-Man, the animated series, or X-Men, the animated series, history happens. Hobgoblin does this and then looks at the camera and says, I'm such a bad hacker.
Yes.
And then gets on his glider and then goes, la, 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 la. We were just talking about how Mr. Sinister is just the most devilish, evil, sinister motherfucker. And then to watch Hobgoblin after that, different vibes, I would say. La 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 all the way down the hall.
It sounds like you would be exaggerating this, but straight up, like, flies into the screen, looks at the camera, like, I'm such a bad hacker, and just kind of la la la's his way off screen.
I stood up and applauded.
It's a piece of art. We then have to catch up with how the fight's going with Spider-Man and Wolverine. They're just throwing security guards, like, up into air ducts and stuff, not hurting them, just leaving them up there, because why
like
not?
Like, dead arms. Just giving them dead arms and, like, wedgies. Like, nothing permanent. Just fucking them up that way.
I don't know. We get to the cage thing. Wolverine, he's like, great, there's my boy. I'm gonna get him. I don't care what the cage that he's in looks like.
Well, before that, I had a question. Wolverine runs in, and Wolverine's like, Beast, are you trapped? And Beast says, I am only but a bird in a gilded cage. And at that point, if you were Wolverine, would you just be like, fuck this, I'm going home. Like, Beast, you fucking rot in there.
Absolutely. If he responds with that, I'm leaving him just to see what happens, see if that vat of acid could turn him into a better person. Like, who knows what that thing will do? Maybe it makes him not annoying as fuck. There's only one way to find out. Let him fall.
Let's see if this turns you into not Fraser. That would be awesome.
He's so rad. But Wolverine's a better man than me. He jumps up on that cage, which we have established is clearly a no-touchy cage. He doesn't.
Now, in Wolverine's defense, Landon should have put a sign on the cage that said, no touch, touchy bad.
Touchy bad.
But Wolverine goes full bore directly into it, and it's one of those things where, like, you see his skeleton flash in, like,
classic,
off and on. Yeah.
So good. He gets electrocuted a good while, gets knocked unconscious. Luckily, Beast catches him. At this moment, do we have Hobgoblin, like, flying around? Is this when people start, like...
Yeah, now he's in there, and Landon has pulled out a gigantic Super Soaker laser.
Yes.
So he's firing at Hobgoblin all willy-nilly. And just shooting everywhere. Because the only way to stop a bad guy with a glider is a bad guy with a gun. And then shoots the cage, the gilded cage, off the thing. So now Spider-Man's holding onto the cage, and Beast is holding onto Wolverine.
We've got a real situation going on above this vat of acid. While this is, like, hanging on, we got to catch in with Fisk. A random dude calls into Fisk and is like, hey, it's not going great over here. Also, he was never building a mutant army for you. And we just see Fisk be a little bitch and, like, yell at this one guy in a wheelchair being like, I'll take my anger out on you. Like,
yeah, our the best running plot line of what's it called? Negotiation limerick?
Neogenic.
Neogenic nightmare is Kingpin and Smythe in their fucking New York Central Park West suite just yelling at each other and just being the cutest little couple in town.
Just like a real couple going through the pandemic, just like stuck in this one room together, really going through it.
Do you want to play Uno again? No, God damn it.
You don't play right. We see Landon and the Goblin, they're like having this whole fight because the Hobgoblin's like, hey, I have all your work, life's work in my hand. What's it worth to you? And that's
and
how they
Hobgoblin, this is how you know he is the baddest bad boy in town. Because not only in this episode does he say, I'm such a bad hacker, but says something that I have not heard or thought about since the 90s, like when the show came out. Finders keepers, losers weepers. That, once you say that to somebody, what are they going to say back?
Fucking ultimate. During this fight again, like, Wolverine almost, like, the cage gets knocked again, of course, because there's a fucking goblin flying around. Wolverine almost falls into this vat of acid. He wakes up on this one, though, so we're back. We got the boy. They're just like, you know what? Start, like, rocking your body back and forth so we can just get this cage over. Flawless plan. It, of course, works.
Spider-Man says, rock your body right, and then Beast is like, Backstreet's back tonight?
All right. We then...
Hobgoblin gets hit on his glider, and his glider, he goes directly into a handrail and gets the glider stuck there. So, and I always think about this, like, when you're an evil villain, but you get a flat tire, and, like, now you have to change a tire, but you're dressed as an evil villain. Like, he's trying to still be badass, but he's just struggling to just unwedge this glider from the handrail so he can go home.
The realest moment this show has ever had. During this, like, Landon is chasing him, and he ends up falling into the acid himself. Real bummer when the acid you set up for a mutant ends up being what you fall into. And, of course, it wasn't tested for humans. We don't know what would happen. Guess what happens? It turns humans into mutants. And, like, a real freaky lizard four-armed thing. Like, a crazy-ass mutant.
Some sort of, and not like kaiju size, but still, he's big and gross and wants to go through town. I love that, like, I don't know, way of thinking, though, that, like, the old, if you take Tylenol when you don't have a headache, it will then cause you to have a headache. Uh-huh. That's it. We found the cure for mutants, but if you're not a mutant, now you are.
Sorry, dude, it's going to turn you into one.
I wonder, much like the having a second coconut hit you in the head and you get your memory back, couldn't he then just go back into the dip and... become a human again?
He was too focused on, like, you know, it ouchy hurts to be this lizard thing that he turned into, and the only way to cure that is sucking electricity, which also makes him bigger. Fucking flawless, like, flawless feature to have in a bad guy. Just make sure he constantly gets bigger each time. Like, he just powers up every second. Good. Great.
I swear to God, we just watched something that had that.
Yeah.
Can you remember a monster sucking electricity out of stuff? Does that ring a bell? I was thinking Bane, but that was fuck buildings to death, not suck electricity out.
He takes his, like, assistant person hostage, mm-hmm. I think.
Who absolutely hates mutants so much. Nobody knows why, but she fucking hates mutants.
There's some strange reason, and he's just going through town. He's, like, powering up. Everybody's like, what are we going to do? This is when the X-Men get called in, because when there's a monster rampaging, you need the X-Men.
Sure.
They all show up. They have a fight go on. I don't think there was any real big moment to hear. Like, Rogue gets sent down to, like, tie him up. Rogue also has flirty moments with Spider-Man.
Yeah. She smacks him in the ass and says, like, all the ladies on the X-Men have some flirty moment with Spider-Man, but, and this is, you're never going to believe this, Cassie, despite watching the episode, what happens? All the X-Men come, and one at a time they fail until Storm flies in and handles everything.
Can you believe that? They're like, they realize he's powering up, so, like, Spider-Man and Beast have this whole science-y thing. They're like, I don't know, science electricity, make sure he's not grounded. Do some shit, and
Spider-Man says, "All right, we need a flugamajorg and a thingamajig." And Beast is like, "Oh, we have both of those on the plane, both." Like,
Beast is ready for any situation.
Have one on the plane, and maybe you have to find the other one. But time is running out on the episode; we're almost over. So Beast is like, "Oh, we have both of those on the plane.
Both are those."
At that point, I would have been like, "We need steak and lobster," and Beast would have had to say.
He would have gone to Sizzler. Both are there for a great deal. The only problem was the plane had everything, but it also wasn't strong enough to hold up this big lizard boy like they thought. So the plane goes down. But I don't know. It's
about to go down, but then all of a sudden it's saved. It freezes in midair because some mutant phobic assistant decides to pull out her mutant power, telekinesis, Kyle, and keeps the ship in the air. She says, no more suffering or no more pain or no more death, and then does that. And this is just simply commentary, Cassie, as you know, on every homophobic politician that we've ever heard turns out to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
Just all of them screaming about how there should be no gay rights, and then they get busted in a bathroom with a dick in their mouth. Happens every fucking time.
Every single time. They have a heart-to-heart with her. They're like, hey, being a mutant's totally fine. See what your power can do. You've been saving people this whole time. And she has been. She saved Spider-Man, I don't know, and some other people.
Last week,
yeah. Scott comes up, and he's just like, Scott's got a Scott, man. Like, they're getting ready to part ways. And he's like, Spider-Man, champ. You're a real team player, and it was great working with you. Like, fuck off, Scott. We don't need this moment, you fucking bitch. He sucks.
He said, you're about to fall, but you have a spring in your step, and that's because of summers. Winter. And I thought that was an incredible Scott line, if you ask me.
A real great
also,
one.
I think Rogue at one point says, once bitten, twice shy.
Yeah, I think so.
What? I've heard that phrase before, but what the fuck could that possibly mean?
There's so many phrases. Like, this one really got me. They really just threw whatever out there. There was, like, U2 mutant. I don't even know what all they did. They were on some shit on this one. Before we wrap this episode up, there is a news. Like, he's standing there. And this whole time, like, when Peter has seen this fucked up mutant lizard thing that Landon has turned into, he's like, that's what I'm worried I'll turn into, is this disgusting little thing. And he's like, I don't know, starting to maybe come to terms with it. And then this newspaper flies in his face and it's like, hey, Spider-Man, this doctor can help you. So he goes to that doctor and that's where this episode ends.
Thank goodness for Wind. Wind has been helping us out in stories for my entire life. Just before the X-Men leave, the other flirty part I was thinking of is that Scott probably says, it was nice working with you. And then Jubilee says, yeah, real nice. Dude, calm your pubes, Jubes. Just, you don't have to bring that out when you're 15 years old and Peter Parker's probably 25.
She's just a chili dog baby stuck in a mall. Like, what else is she to do? That is it for the episode, though. Let's go on to our webbies. To start this off, let's do best web zinger. Ryan, what do you got?
Oh, I mean, like, it's classic. It's, I would say, just a hair more clever than when somebody talks close to you and you say, man, you could use a breath mint. And it's when Spider-Man says to Wolverine, have you thought about seeing a manicurist?
Good.
Just classic.
Classic. My best web zinger, I think it's actually, I don't remember who says it, but when Landon falls into the acid and is essentially like getting murdered, we don't know what's happening to him at this point. Someone says, you scientists always getting too immersed in your work, as he's literally possibly dying in there. Fucking good. Whoever it was. Actually, I think it was Wolverine. And Ryan, it clearly has to be that one. So I'm going to give myself 2 points for that. Our next one is Kung Fu Grip or Best Mover Power. What do you have for it?
There was a couple in the section. We didn't get into a lot of the details about how Spidey and Wolverine beat up these guys, but there's some stuff with a door that I really enjoyed. But my favorite was Wolverine says, like, over here, and Spider-Man tosses him two guys. And then Wolverine catches them and throws them straight up into the air, 40 feet in the air. And then they grab onto a ledge and they're like, this job doesn't pay enough.
Ryan, I'm so proud of you. There's literally two things I have written down. And it's the power of claws to make a door wherever you need. And also throwing boys up into the airs onto pipe.
I know that we don't like shitting on animation here, but when Wolverine goes to make that door, he cuts like 4 times and then it cuts to Spider-Man going like, cool. And then it cuts back to Wolverine and he has just made the same X over and over again. Like, that's not working, dude.
But Ryan, you knocked it out of the park. You got both of the ones I have, which means you win. There's also no other competition for you, but I'm going to reward you by giving you 4 whole points for that.
Hell yeah.
Our next one is most 90s thing. What do you got for it?
Oh, I mean, this is hands down. I mean, the whole computer section, the whole bad hacker situation, just like made fucking 90s explode out of my body. But turning on the computer and having virtual lady come on and be like, welcome to your computer. Just, yeah, goddamn it, 90s. You knew nothing. And yet you knew everything.
It was. That's obviously the only answer for this one. And the fact that, like, it comes on the screen and she straight up says, like, everything has been transferred to your CD-ROM. Like, that makes it more fancy or more technical to say CD-ROM. Fucking good. 90s. Nailed it.
The writers of this clearly had just heard the term CD-ROM like that last week, and they like the way that she says it, it's clearly in a way where they want to prove that they know what a CD-ROM is.
Yeah, we've heard of it. We know data can go on it. So I'm going to give you 2 points for that, Ryan. You're killing it.
I'm crushing
you're
you.
You're fucking crushing me. Our next one is New York is a character. What do you got for it?
When the monster it breaks out and is just heading for the city, somebody says he's heading to Midtown. Midtown is probably, like, that has to be the middle of New York town, Midtown. That's New York as fuck, baby.
It sounds like it. It simply has to be, and there's no New York boy, a.k.a. Mike, to confirm or yell at us. So it absolutely is. I just have it, nothing stood out as super New York on this one, and the security guards had somewhat of an accent, so I put my security boys. Every once in a while when they were getting thrown up, there was like a New York spin on it, like they yelled out pizza or some shit. But I am...
When they got thrown up in the air, somebody said, I'm flying here!
Honestly, they should have done that, and they would do that. But I'm going to give you a point for that one, Ryan. You don't need this extra point, but I kind of need the compliment here. Our final award, Cassie compliment. What do you got for it?
Did you want to go first for this? Do you even nominate for this award?
I simply don't. I just can't even fathom what to do for it. It's just a bonus round for you guys.
The least Cassie thing of all time is you sitting in your house thinking, how should I compliment myself today?
How can I be seen in this show?
I think this one's very clear, too. Cassie, you have the insult power of one Wolverine. That is such a compliment because Wolverine straight up says, and I quote, shut up, you puny little geek. And if I had a fucking dollar for every time you've said that word for word to me, I would have $7 billion.
Wolverine's just a cool dude, and I relate to him a lot. I'm glad you could see me in him and give me this proper compliment. I'm going to give you another point for that, Ryan. Great job. That takes the total to me with 2. Great job. Give myself a pat on the back. But you have taken it home, Ryan, with 7 points, I believe.
Vegas is going to be pissed.
I know.
Like, they had you as the odds-on favorite for winning this tonight, and you did not.
I fucking swept it, dude. That's it. We've done this episode, just the two of us. It feels good, but before you leave, everyone, please subscribe and follow wherever you get your podcasts, or catch every episode on YouTube at Your Pop Filter. We also have some websites, and that website is popfilter.co. You go there, that's going to be, you're going to find everything we do and put out. You're just going to see pictures of Mike and Ryan plastered all over that whenever you go to it.
Actually, there is a new feature on the website. This is not a joke. This is legit. We have switched it. So if you have a favorite podcaster, because not all of us are on every show, you can type in the search bar, you can type Cassie, and it will just give you the superhero shows that she is on.
Dang.
And you could skip those ones where it's just fucking chaos because she's not there.
That's a rad-ass feature. That's a good feature. Go check that out. Popfilter.co. Another website you should check out, popfilter.co/Amazon. We know you guys are already on Amazon. It's just convenient. That's how you get things. But we would like a little bit of that cash that Bezos is getting. So please use shop on Amazon that way. We have another show on the network. Ryan, can you please tell the people about it?
Yes. Just this week, a new season of Movie of the Year has begun. It is all about the year 1984. Nonstop nostalgia and incredible movies all season long. We have whittled the field of 64 down to 16. And those sweet 16 are going to compete all season long to take down the ultimate prize, the film Birdie, with an Alan Parker movie that has music by Peter Gabriel. Absolutely not in the Sweet 16. So if that's what you're going for, don't do that one. But 16 much better movies than that are all fighting now Movie of the Year.
We're also on social media. You can find us at Your Pop Filter on Instagram. Check it out over there. We got some great posts, some certified banger of posts, if I would say.
Oh, God. People, like, greatpost.com is saying some of the greatest posts of all time.
Like, you got to go check it out. Leave a little comment there. Just say great post. And we're going to be like, I know. Thank you so much. If you also want to get a hold of us, you can email us, contact at popfilter.co. Send us your opinions or whatever.
If you think that Invincible is actually good, like me and the rest of the world do,
fools,
put in the subject, Cassie is stupid, and then we will read that on the air.
That is the only email they will read on air. If you put the subject line, Cassie is stupid, it will absolutely get read on this show. Speaking of Invincible and how terrible of a show it is, we are going to check in on it next week with the season finale of Invincible and Resident Alien, so be sure to check that out. But
I think, Cassie, for your sake, the Resident Alien finale will be the main
event.
That is
so kind of you. That is, if you need to switch that, though, I understand. I understand the numbers and the people and the machine craves. We can do it. I can suffer through. That is it for this episode, though. For Mike, I'm Ryan. For Ryan, I'm Mike. For me, I am Mia. Bye, everyone.